celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
And welcome.
Did I mention it costs you nothing to reach out to Dr. Debbie or dog father Joey Villani about your animals, your pets, preferably. Occasionally, Dr. Debbie will be cornered and someone will ask about a goiter. But we'd prefer just your animal questions today, toll free. From the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android, it's a free download. Download it now. A big show for you today, as it always is. Our veterinary correspondent, Dr. Marty Becker, he will be back to talk ticks. It's tick talk.
Well, and flea facts.
Flea facts and tick talk.
Yes.
Say that fast a bunch of times.
Well, you know, it is warming up outside, and that means that the rest of the country is going to get the fleas now that we have all year.
Yeah.
So it's really important that we check in with Dr. Marty Becker, because there's a lot of fallacies and a lot of thoughts about whether or not these spot-ons are becoming, well, your animals become resistant to them after a while, after using them for so long.
Not your animals, the actual fleas.
Oh, excuse me, the fleas. Yeah.
Become resistant and they doesn't kill them.
That's what I meant to say.
Okay.
8-year-old hero today. Yes. Did you hear that? 8-year-old hero.
Eight.
Alyssa Carter. She lives in Johannesburg, South Africa. And she's
taking on a big deal here.
It is amazing for what an 8-year-old. I'm thinking, what was I doing at 8 years old?
Not this.
No. This young gal is all about the animals at this very young age. And we'll talk to her in just a couple of minutes. Let's hit the phones for your calls right now. It's a free call. We have Annie on the phone. Hey, Annie.
Hey.
Annie, where are you calling from?
Calling from Kansas.
Kansas. And what can we do for you today?
I've got an area that we've mulched in around some blueberry bushes, and the cats, the little barn cats, are using it like a litter box. And we're wondering if there's something natural that we can use to keep them out of there.
Oh, I thought you were going to say natural for litter box shoes, because they love that stuff. Mulch is just like feels great on the feet for cats. So it's, yeah, it's definitely very attractive. So, yeah, obviously you don't want the kitties in your mulch. The challenge is, because it's such an attractive litter site, they really enjoy that digging sensation with that. You're going to be faced with some real challenges there. And the best way I can recommend is to actually do a physical barrier of some sort. So things like netting and chicken wire might be the most effective to actually keep them out of that. However, there's a lot of different remedies you may hear about, you know, old wives' tale, things you can try. And a lot of people will try things like citrus peels, either orange or lemon peels, and not leaving the fruit, but the actual peels in the garden area. So, I don't know. Some people claim it works. I don't have the best success with that. Other things like, you know, cayenne pepper, that can be helpful for some cats, but, you know, I have others that it just doesn't do it enough. They'll go 2 feet away, and that cayenne pepper, you just can't spread everywhere.
Right.
There are some tools that you might find on the internet or at a pet store that are motion activated. And if you're kind of dealing with a certain area, they might be a good option for you. There's one called the Scarecrow, which is actually motion activated. It's actually, it hooks to the sprinkler. So when they get to the area, the sprinkler goes off, and cats not being real big water animals, it's kind of a deterrent that's kind of kind for them. There's also a deterrent that's motion activated that will have a kind of a pst of air, of a high pressure air, like an air can, and those two you can find on the internet. I think one is called Garden Ghost. So some folks have some variable use with that in keeping kitties out of the areas. But when we're talking like these areas that are just like either kids' sandboxes or garden areas, they are just really so desirable for these kitties. So if we think like a cat, the determination is very strong. So right. The physical barriers really go the furthest in trying to keep them out of this.
Now, we got a recipe here. We're going to post this over at the website, and this is one of our guests had on. It's a formula that includes cayenne pepper and Chinese mustard. And I can't vouch to whether or not it'll work, but if you're one of those that might want to think about trying it, I can pass it on to you there.
Okay. It might be worth a try.
It's just you installed a kitty litter is what you did, pretty much.
That's exactly. Natural kitty litter.
And I did, yeah.
And if you're good at cooking and making mustard and cayenne pepper, I personally don't cook. So for me, I think even mixing those combinations, I'd be dangerous.
It sounds dangerous.
Okay. Well, hold on for 1 second, Annie. We appreciate your call today. We're going to, Susan? Hey, Susan.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Where are you today?
We are in Catawissa, Pennsylvania.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard of that before. Which side of Pennsylvania?
It's like Central Mountains.
Okay. Are you listening on WEEU?
WEEU.
Good station. Love those guys.
Great station.
How can we help you?
I actually have a question. I have a six-year-old cat that suffered a stroke 2 weeks ago and took her into the vet, and they ran all the tests. And my concern is we have other cats in the house, and we've been applying Feline Advantage for fleas mm-hmm. on the other cats. We know the dose wasn't what caused the stroke. That's what my vet's telling me. But my concern is on the 21st of this month, I need to retreat my cats, and mm-hmm. I need to know what to do with her.
Okay. And is she currently in good health, recovered from things, or is she still kind of on the mend right now?
Actually, she is in pretty good health, I think. I mean, she, okay. you know, other than, just partial paralyzation on her left side.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Not terribly common in kitties, unless we're dealing with something more of a, was there any kind of neurologic injury?
No. We went through all that. Nothing toxic, nothing. Mm. The only thing I could think of was the flea product, and my vet said, no, it's been too long. That would have happened within the first 2 days.
Okay. You know, I'd say, you know, it's not likely, but anything that might have been timed around the time when she fell ill, I'm just kind of a superstitious kind of person. So I would probably agree with you as I wouldn't be a fan of using anything medicine-wise which was preceding this event. So that being said, you know, what else can we do for flea control? And there's a lot of other ways we can go at things, various different topical products. If we're afraid of that kind of class of flea control, there are some different ones that we can try in an oral form.
Okay.
And, you know, just like any other medicine, human or veterinary, there's always potential side effects. So I won't lie to you and say that one's going to be less of a problem or less likely to cause a problem for your individual kitty. But there may be different ways we can go at this. And in some of the oral ones that work very effectively in cats, there's one called Capstar, which is a very quick kill, and it's in a tablet form. So that would be maybe a possibility of something to look at as an alternative. But otherwise, if you had to take a break for a month on your flea control for this individual baby, you know, I don't know that I would say that you're going to lose total control of the flea household there.
Okay.
And, you know, and I think I'd probably look at her as an individual as a little bit special needs right now.
Absolutely. And I just don't want, you know, my whole thing was I was just going to confine her in the room for 2 days after I did the other cats. We have 34 cats.
Whoa. Holy moly.
Yeah, so I just wanted to put her in a room for 2 days and not have her around them. And I was kind of hoping that maybe I could do something in a more holistic way for her, where the flea, mm-hmm. she would be the most susceptible to them, I think, because her health is not 100% right now. Now, I could be totally wrong on that, but...
And I'd say that the most natural thing you can do is actually to sit down with a flea comb and remove them individually. So if there are actually adult fleas on her, and that's a lot of times what we'll do when we have young pups and kittens, where they're just not old enough for a lot of the different products. And it's definitely one of the ways that we can kind of at least physically help to eliminate their parasite burden. So that would definitely be a consideration that I would look at. And I got to ask you, how in the heck do you corral 34 cats to do any kind of medical treatment on them at one time?
You do a couple at a time is really how it goes. They're all what society would call throwaways. It's sad. We live rural, and they just drop them off, sometimes in carriers, and leave them. It's beyond belief. But we do it, you know, a couple at a time the day that they all get treated on the same day, and it's just making a list of all their names and checking them off.
Wow. Wow.
Making sure you're okay.
What a job.
Double dose anybody. So
another good guardian you sound like. Can I send you some world's best cat litter?
That would be awesome.
Hold on for 1 second, Susan.
All right,
you're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, it's Alan Cable with another dog tip. Change is stressful for you, so imagine how it is for your dog. Things like moving to a new place or moving in with someone. And yeah, how about bringing home that new baby? When you do that, you're adding a new member to the pack. A lot of folks bring a new baby home and actually shut their dogs out, give them less attention, get anxious when the dog moves close to the baby. The dog will associate the baby with negative feelings, and your anxious energy will make the dog feel unstable. You don't want that, so let's talk about bringing that new baby home. First, as always, you want the dog to know that the baby is higher in the pack order. You want to teach your dog to respect the baby, and you do this with space. Well, Alan, what does that mean? The baby has a space the dog's not allowed into, like a nursery. You know your baby's coming, the dog doesn't. So when you set up your nursery, it's a great idea not to let your dog in that room. Long before the baby comes home, you're telling the dog that the baby is higher in the pack order. You teach your dog that that room's off limits. Try to keep the same structure you had before. If you take your dog on walks, and you should, keep doing it, but do it with the baby. You can even practice with an empty stroller before the baby comes home. And remember, the dog walks behind the stroller or at your side, never in front. When you enter your house, you're always in front of the dog. Since you're carrying the baby, that again reinforces that the baby is higher in the pack order. Now, once you have your baby, have a member of your family bring one of the baby's t-shirts home. It's got the baby's scent all over it. Put it on the floor, but don't let your dog get near it. Trust me, he can smell it fine from a couple of feet away. After that, you can pick it up and let him get a little closer, but don't let him touch it. Then just go throw it on the floor in the nursery. Again, this is teaching space and respect. Now, the day you bring the baby home, you want to be calm and confident. And you also want to make sure your dog's real tired out before you do it. Have somebody take him for a long walk or play with him. A tired dog is a calm dog. Act like you've come home with the baby a million times before. No big deal. You're calm and confident. And never let your dog invade your space or the baby's. With just a little thought and planning, your dog will give your baby space and respect.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Thousands of authors across the country have written books and published them with Page Publishing. If you've written a book, they can help you through the process, cut through the confusion of the publishing world to make it easy for you. If they decide to publish your book, your work ends, theirs begins. From copy editing and proofing to typesetting and book cover art. Plus, get your book printed, distributed, and sold on Amazon, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, and in bookstores across the country. They even help promote your book. Biography, self-help, mystery, novels, sci-fi, or even a children's book. No matter what genre, Page Publishing can bring your book to life. And don't forget to ask about audiobooks. We do all of this for you. Call today for your free writer's guide packed with tips, tricks, and templates to help you finish what you started.
800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. That's 800-215-6815.
Hey, folks, this is Jackson Galaxy. You're listening to Animal Radio. Please do everyone a favor, spay or neuter your animals today.
Lucky dog, you're listening to Animal Radio. We're celebrating our connection with our pets. Our hero today seems to be 8 years old. Is that correct?
Eight and a half years
yes. old.
That's important.
Yes, it is.
That half is important at that age.
Yes. Yep. Yes. And she lives in Johannesburg, South Africa. So we'll be calling over there. It's got to be late over there, huh?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay. But we'll head to the phones first. This portion of Animal Radio brought to you by Fear Free Happy Homes. Don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Download it now. It's made possible by Fear Free Happy Homes. Helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear Free, for underwriting Animal Radio. What? Which one are we going to?
Line two, we have Robert.
Hey, Robert, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks a lot.
I understand you want to talk to Dr. Debbie.
I do. I was listening to the radio, I think, last week. One weekend, I just ran across the station. They were talking about pets, and I have a little small Shih Tzu Pomeranian, and she was having a few problems, so...
So what's going on with your baby there?
She was scratching her hind legs to where no more hair in the back. and I bought some topical stuff. You know, they said for hot spots, and it doesn't seem to work. I was having to use it too much, and then I started thinking that it was going to be toxic for her to scratch and have that in her mouth. So I'm going to be moving where I live now. There's carpet, so I don't know if it's the fleas in the carpet. I do take her to the groomer once a month at least, and they give her the flea bath, and I do get the advantage. And at this point, I don't even know if the advantage is working.
Okay.
So I just want to know, because I just hate to see her suffer.
Yeah, definitely. And if she's got areas where she's actually getting bald and we're starting to see skin showing through, then for me, that says that the itch is significant enough. We need to kind of maybe up the ante here a little bit as far as trying some more things. And I definitely would look, number one, at flea control and make sure all of our efforts are as thorough as we can. So right. A flea bath is great. That will help to kill those critters that are on your pet at the time, but definitely to follow up with that topical product at home. Now, the other reality is if you have a cat going inside and outside, you know, we can have a lot of opportunity for reinfestation. So your efforts could really be second-guessed by that kitty's activity. So let's make sure that cat is treated as well with an appropriate cat product.
So I have a flea collar on her all the time. And like I said, I put the advantage, but I just, to me, putting the advantage by her neck is like, how does it take care of the whole dog?
Well, it gets distributed into the glands in the skin, and then that way it's distributed to the pet kind of systemically. However, the thing I think is that, you know, I don't know that our efforts are necessarily wrong in what you're doing, but I just want to make sure that we're still encompassing environmental control as well. So if you do have a critter that's going inside and outside, even if you're treating your doggy as thoroughly as you can, we got to make sure that the environment is treated. So that may mean that we need to do some treatments inside the home and to that kitty as well. So I think that might be really where I'd say our efforts we would need to go. And, you know, definitely if we've been on a product and we're not seeing response after several months, then, you know, I might look at another one. But for me, I think there's a lot of opportunity here with your household and the behavior of the animals that we could really work more on the environment. So even
I bought the carpet flea treatment. So once I moved in here, I wanted to change my attitude about when it comes to Cheetah. So I do treat the carpets in the two rooms that have carpet.
Great. Good. So I'm happy with that then. And maybe that is what is making the difference here in improving your pet's comfort there. Now, if for, you know, let's play devil's advocate here. And if the itching continues and we see continued hair loss, even though you've got this move and these changes, then I might start looking for things along the allergy line. And so we might look at getting into some antihistamines to help control itch, maybe a fatty acid supplement that can help kind of restore the natural luster to the hair. And then as far as the topical, I'm not sure what products you're using, what ingredients are in there, but sometimes we can find things that have topical steroids that have nice anti-itch relief. But other times, really, we don't want to hit these pets with a lot of irritating substances and a lot of different drugs on their skin surface. We may want to use something very soothing that may be more colloidal oatmeal-based. So that might be even another direction. If the itch isn't quite bad and we think we got the fleas under control, that you look for something that's got kind of more that natural oatmeal base, and that might give her some good relief there.
Well, how would I know if she's allergic to the food?
Oh, you know,
someone told me that she might be allergic to her food, and right now I'm giving her, I believe it's Proactiv.
So for allergies, there are definitely inhalant allergies, you know, things that are in the environment the pet is, you know, exposed to, and then there's the food allergies. Food allergies are very difficult to prove. The way that we figure that out is we actually put the pet on a hypoallergenic diet trial. So that's not necessarily saying I'm going to pick a different brand of food, because that's the wrong approach. It's not necessarily food brand that is bad. It's food components or the ingredients. So with that, you know, we can talk about trying a hypoallergenic diet. There's oodles out there. The big thing is I talked to your veterinarian about that possibility and if that is something we need to get into. For me, if I have an itchy pet, we've got good flea control, and especially if this is a young doggy, I really look at food allergies seriously. This is Dr. Debbie with Animal Radio. We're here waiting for your call.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, this is Big Ant from Rescue Inc. Remember, spay and neuter your animal, and abusers are losers. Now back to Animal Radio.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. That's 800-475-3351.
This is
Animal Radio.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Very good. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Muskegon, Michigan right now.
George, what's going on with you? Dr. Debbie's on with us here.
Hi.
I have a female Airedale that's spayed. She's 3 years old. Her weight was up to 130 pounds. And about a year ago, we put her on a diet. And the doctor wants her down to around, the vet wants her down to about 100 pounds. But I can't get her below 117. And all I feed her is a cup of dry dog food in the morning mixed with a half a can of green beans and the same thing at night.
Do you think she looks pudgy?
Yeah, she's kind of a little bit wide at the cruft back. But I got her from Airedale Rescue when she was 3 months old, and she weighed 35 pounds then.
Oh, when she was little, yeah. They grew up to be big girls, but yeah, I would say at 130, that definitely sounds as a number, it sounds high. And if you're going by the body condition score, which is usually what most veterinarians use, where we look at your pet and we look for some certain outlines and shapes that we want to see. And if she doesn't have a nice little narrow waist when you're standing above her, and she kind of looks like a pretty much like a rectangular potato, then that's not what we want. We want to have a nice little silhouette. So I guess the first thing I'd ask you as far as, you know, food-wise, as far as is she actually on a weight loss diet?
I am feeding her for about a year now, blue buffalo.
Has your veterinarian expressed any concerns for anything health-wise, any kind of hormone problems? Because one of the big things I'd be looking for in a dog that can't drop the weight would be potentially a thyroid problem.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that myself. But
and it's a very common hormonal problem, so if she hasn't been screened for that yet, I would definitely draw some blood and check her for that. A low thyroid level in dogs can cause problems with weight gain, as well as some other hair coat problems where they get kind of dry skin, and can have some activity problems. So that would be definitely something I'd look at. And I would really encourage you to use a weight loss diet in more of a prescription strength. And that basically means nothing wrong with the food you're feeding right now, but when we're really trying to make some sincere efforts at getting that poundage off, it is advisable to use a prescription weight loss food. It gets a little bit more calorie restrictive than general over-the-counter weight loss foods that are out there. And the other thought is there is actually a weight loss drug for dogs. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called Slentrol. And it actually is a drug that helps to curb their appetite. And we only want to use it in a healthy dog that doesn't have a thyroid problem, doesn't have a liver problem. But that is really useful for some pets that just can't get that weight off or that have a very strong appetite.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Tammy Trujillo. Now, I am no fan of declawing a cat. That's just my opinion there. But a recent study found that many vets either don't know how to do the procedure, and that can really have some horrifying results. In many cases, it turns out that bone fragments are left behind in the toe. And if a fragment includes part of a nail bed, then that claw can actually regrow inside the paw. It's one reason declawed cats sometimes suddenly refuse to use the litter box. Their paws just hurt too much to scratch the litter. Declawing is now banned in at least 22 countries. It's banned in several states and many cities here in the U.S., but an estimated 25% of all cats in the U.S. are declawed. Nigel, the talking parrot, is back home where he belongs in Torrance, California, after being missing for 4 years. And nobody really knows where he's been, but, well, the last time they saw him, he spoke English with a British accent, and now he speaks Spanish. A vet had actually been running some ads for her own lost parrot and was contacted by somebody who had found an African gray. It wasn't her bird, but a check of the microchip led them to Nigel's owner. Everybody was kind of surprised by the reunion, including Nigel, who bit his person during the reintroduction, but apparently everything is cool now.
I never had Nigel. I don't know how to speak Spanish, so. But, you know, my other question is how do they know it's Nigel? I mean, he spoke
they
English,
had a microchip.
Speak some
it had
Spanish.
It had a microchip.
He did?
Yes.
The bird had a microchip?
The bird had a microchip.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
That's how he got back to his original person. Mm-hmm. But when he got back, he's apparently been south of the border or something.
I didn't know they did microchips in birds. I thought they did leg bands.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I thought.
They did in this, or at least that's what the report has.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yo quiero Taco Bell is what it said. It could have been like in Southern California, for all that we know.
I guess now it's just Nigel's person has to learn Spanish. I'm Tammy Trujillo. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, Candy. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, you even have a sweet candy-like voice. Where are you today?
Thank you for saying that. I'm in Modesto, California.
I have Dr. Debbie here. How can she help you?
Well, I have a question. I have a 15-year-old Manx cat, and he was diagnosed with diabetes a year ago, and I was giving him insulin shots and so forth, and he had a reaction to those. So I took him off the insulin shots and just started really altering his diet, giving him a high-protein diet and so forth, and he seemed that he's responding really, really well. But just recently, I kind of feel like he's kind of experiencing maybe a little bit of blood sugar or something like that, and I don't want to put him back on the insulin because I just don't think they got the amount right, and I'm not really sure if he's to that point. I've had him tested, and it doesn't say that he is, but I was wondering if natural products, because there's, you know, natural pet products, I was wondering if any of those are appropriate or if they would work on my cat.
Okay, and I'm going to back up a little bit. When you said he had a reaction to the insulin, what exactly did he do?
Well, he almost died, actually. I had to take him to the emergency room. His blood sugar was like 20 or 30. So, it was really bad. So I took him off that and just really started giving him, you know, roaster chicken and just really good things like that because he wouldn't eat any of the vet, you know, food for a diabetic cat. So he seems to be, you know, responding really well. But, you know, at times he looks lethargic and, you know, things like that. And I was just wondering if any of those, you know, natural pet products would work because I haven't dealt with that before.
Okay. As far as for diabetes in kitties, we're fortunate in cats that in some cases it can actually be a transient problem or we can control them with diet alone. So there are a certain population of cats that have to have insulin to really get effective control of that disease. I'm wondering if your kitty didn't fall in that category and when he had a really low blood sugar, that's the effect that we would want insulin to do is to drop the blood sugar, but obviously not to that level because that is just so low. Yeah. So if he can be managed with diet and if his blood sugar is in a nice, happy range with a high-protein diet, then that would be my therapy, and that would be what I would have the goal. If you're doing that and we're still not in a happy range and if there's suspicion that it's actually a problem, then we may have to look at maybe an alternate insulin product. But as far as natural things to kind of treat diabetes, ain't anything out there that's going to really be helpful there. But cats have this kind of freaky ability to raise their blood sugar when they're stressed, nervous. So I would just make sure that if they did have a reading that was high on the blood sugar, that we back that up with maybe a urine check to make sure, or a test called a fructosamine, which also looks to make sure that that value has been consistently high before we kind of go down that insulin road there.
Okay. All right. The cat eats better than I eat. you know, as all of our animals do. And but, you know, a lot of chicken, you know, a lot of really good, you know, natural, you know, cat foods and things like that, tuna and, you know, things like that. But I was just wondering if any of those kind of pet things work for, like, fleas, you know, because I, you know, California has a flea problem right now. And you know, I hate to put advantage and things like that because I know it's chemicals. And, you know, I've seen these websites. And I thought, you know, I wonder if the natural flea stuff would work, too. Do you know anything about that, doctor?
Some of the different natural flea things, you know, there's a lot of different remedies out there, and I'm really not going to stand behind those and say that things like garlic and things like that work. There are a lot of super great products out there. Everyone's going to have a little bit of a potential for a side effect, whether it's a topical or an oral.
Yeah.
So, you know, the best natural thing is a flea comb. It's the safest thing, the least risk of a problem. Anything beyond that, just I can't say is really founded, all the garlic and the yeast remedies, things like that. But you did say, I want to go back to the diabetes, a blood sugar of 270 in a cat isn't a problem unless we can really say that there's a diabetic state going on. So when I mentioned the stress nervous cat, I get that value on cats a lot of the time when they just walk in the front door if I check their blood sugar, and it can be a completely normal thing. So I wouldn't focus if there was just that one level that was high and there's something else going on at the time. I'm going to rule that out to just kitty stress. But any question, again, I say, you know, check a urine sample, have your vet check into that a little bit more. But otherwise, you know, if he's not feeling well, you know, it's always good to try to figure out what's going on there. But
yeah, well, he's 105, too, in people's age. So, you know, 15 is pretty old. Although he has no arthritis and he sees really well and he plays, and people think he's, you know, 7 or 8 years old. But in actuality, you know, he's an older kitty.
Go give him a big old hug from all of us right now, will you?
I'll do it.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, this is Ed Begley Jr. on Animal Radio. Live simply so that others may simply live.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. That's 800-689-0143.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
We'll head back to the phones in just a couple of seconds. But first, our hero of the week. And we're going to talk to Dad first. Dad is Brian Carter, and we're calling Johannesburg, South Africa. Brian, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks, indeed.
It's late there, isn't it?
Yes, it's a little bit after 8:30 in the evening.
Well, we're calling because your daughter is doing something amazing for the animals. And before we talk to her, I want to kind of get the summary from you. She, she's fallen in love with the rhinos. And this happened, what, at 6 years old?
Yes, that's correct. Yes, at the age of roughly 6 and a half.
And how old is she now?
Now she's close to 8 and a half.
So what was her first experience with the rhino?
I think that's probably when she learned about it at school, when they were doing endangered animals as part of the curriculum. And one of the things that they talked about was very topical at the time and is still now, and that was about rhinos. But because we are animal lovers, nature lovers, we have been to places like the Kruger National Park and other parks that are closer to Johannesburg. And always, as a family, enjoyed being around the wildlife. And unbeknown to us at the time, Melissa had just really taken a liking to rhinos. And when she heard about the rhinos being killed from you know, this whole scourge of poaching, that's when everything started from there.
Poaching, which is usually done, what, just for
the horns?
The horns and the ivory of the horns, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. They kill the rhinos just to hack off or cut off the horns, because they believe it has some or other medicinal use. And the crazy thing about it is it actually has no use whatsoever. It has the same effect as grinding up fingernails or hair.
I am amazed at that young age that your daughter is able to understand what's happening, and she has started her own mission. She's is she selling chocolates and candies to raise money for the rhinos?
Yes, that's right. It started off with chocolates and moved on to stickers and rock candy sweets and lollipops. We've also added ginger biscuits into the mix. And now she's also just recently had a nice donation from a group of people who are also part of the fight against poaching, where they've given her a variety of jewelry, necklaces and charm bracelets and earrings and various things like that, that she can also use to sell to raise more money for her fund.
Okay, and the fund will, I guess she wants to get dogs. What do the dogs do, and where does the money go?
The concept came up when Alyssa saw a video and heard a presentation from a group called the Sanparks Honorary Rangers. Sanparks standing for South African National Parks. And the Honorary Rangers are the preferred fundraising channel for the South African National Parks. And one of the things they were presenting was the idea of putting trained sniffer dogs into the national parks as a defense mechanism or as a protection mechanism, maybe more about tracking if they come across anywhere where poachers have come into the parks or have passed by, then these trained sniffer dogs can actually follow the trail through the park, through the wild bush, and pick up the trail and lead the necessary people, the field rangers, etc., can lead them directly to where these poachers are located. So that was the presentation that Alyssa saw, and she turned to me and she said, "Daddy, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to buy." So the whole idea was hers and hers alone. We didn't come up with ideas and say, "Hey, would you like to do this?" It was from something that she saw herself.
Oh, but I'm sure that you fertilized a compassionate attitude towards animals, and that's where it comes from.
Sure. I mean, as I said earlier on, as a family, you know, we are nature lovers. It's just something that we have enjoyed. So we've, you know, taken our children to different places like that. So I guess, she obviously had it in her.
Well, can we talk to our little hero?
Yes, you can talk to your little hero. I'll put pass the phone over to her.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you.
How cool is this with a kid that age?
Yeah,
my gosh.
Very cool. And we're just
She's going to be such an amazing adult.
Hi, Alyssa. How are you?
Fine, thanks. And you?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for staying up late. I understand it might be past your bedtime, right?
Okay.
I want to ask you about the rhinos. And you're selling chocolate and lollipops and stickers and all kinds of things to raise money for the rhinos, right?
Yes.
Who are you selling it to?
At school at break time, and I go and sell around at school to all the children.
Oh.
I also sell at other schools and at markets, and that's all.
So tell me, what do you like about the rhinos? Why is the rhino your favorite?
I like their long horns, and it's very nice and beautiful.
They are beautiful.
Do you know how much money you've raised so far selling candy?
No.
You don't? Someone's told me that you've raised over $23,000 selling candy. That's a lot of candy.
Do you have stuffed animals? Do you have rhino stuffed animals? Or do you have any other animals at home?
Only two dogs and my fluffy rhino.
And you have a fluffy rhino?
A whole bunch, more than 15.
More than 15 wow. Stuffed rhinos. Wow.
Well, I want to thank you for talking to us. I know you're tired and we'll let you go to bed, but we wanted to tell you we love you. You're our hero for what you're doing. We think what you're doing is absolutely wonderful.
Keep up the good work.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
She was precious.
There you go.
Oh, she sounds a little bit tired. It's the end of the day there.
It's for bedtime. Her.
But she is an absolute doll. Absolute doll you got there.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Thank you for telling us your story, and thanks for allowing Alyssa to be our hero of the week here at Animal Radio. I'm going to go ahead and give out this website. It's called savetherhinos.co.za.
you know, we always sit here around and think, oh gosh, I wish we could do something to fix that or fix the other thing. Well, my goodness, if a 9-year-old child can do something to fix a problem,
ain't that right?
Then by gosh, yes, the rest of us big kids can come up with something.
I am the family dog, and it's that time of year again. The one where pet parents start looking for Fido-friendly hotels and destinations where Fido is welcome. Make no bones about it. Pets are part of the family, and we like to sniff out new places too. And we hate to be turned away, especially when we're on our best behavior. So we won't be left out in the cold. Be sure to pick up a copy of Fido-Friendly Magazine to find the best hotels and destinations where Fido is always welcome. Go online to FidoFriendly.com and subscribe today.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
In this hour, veterinary correspondent Dr. Marty Becker will be joining us. And what do you have on the docket, Doc?
I got on the docket, Doc, flea facts and TikTok.
Flea facts and TikTok on the docket.
I just want to see how many times you can say that without messing up in a row, fast.
It is that time of
flea
the
fact,
season.
TikTok, flea fact, TikTok, flea fact, TikTok.
Oh, that's pretty
wow.
good.
You're doing
that's
good. Good. Yeah. Wow.
Most of us can look out the window right now and see sunshine and spring on the way, which means mm-hmm. that the fleas and the ticks are going to proliferate once again. So we'll be talking to Dr. Marty Becker in just a couple of minutes about that. But first, your phone calls. And we have Maureen on the phone. Hi, Maureen.
Hi there. How are you?
Very good. Where are you Hello. Calling from today?
Reading, Pennsylvania.
Love Reading. WEEU, our affiliate there.
That's correct.
I have Dr. Debbie right here. Come on over, Dr. Debbie.
All right. I'm pushing him aside Hi. Here.
Hi, there. Dr. Debbie. I'm calling because I have a new rescue pup, and I even have what they call the break fast bowl, and she just takes down, chows down this food, and it's small kibbles like you would not believe. And I'm wondering what I can do to stop that, because I'm afraid it's not good for her, and I'm afraid she's going to get, I think, I'm trying to think of the terminology when a dog ingests food and they don't chew it well. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, we do worry about bloat if a pet eats really
bloat,
fast and gorges themselves.
That's the
themselves.
Right word, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, is she currently having any health problems with it, or you're just being cautious and being proactive?
Well, I'm being proactive about it, to be honest with you, I'm lifting her face even away from this bowl because I'm afraid that she's going to throw up because she just ingests this. She ingests this like she's never eaten before.
Okay. And she's how old?
1 to 1.5.
Okay. And is she the only dog in your home? And do you have other dogs, or is she the only one?
I do have another dog, yes, and that other dog is 8. Yes.
Okay. And are they fed together and out of the same bowl, different bowls?
Oh, they're fed out of different bowls. Absolutely, yes.
Okay, good. All right. Well, the first thing that I'll say is that it's well recognized that sometimes pets that are adopted or that come from, tough beginnings can sometimes have issues with food when it comes to eating and eating it all up very fast.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Some of it, we don't know what experiences, the pet had on the road beforehand.
Exactly.
But it can leave some impact mentally. So some tips definitely that bowl that you're referring to is kind of a cool bowl that some people make their own at home, but it's actually a pre-made bowl that has little pegs that kind of sit up, stick up from the bottom of the bowl. So the idea is it slows down how fast the pet can ingest the food from the bowl. Some people will just overturn cups and put them inside the bowl, and you can do the same thing at home. But if we're still doing that behavior, the other strategies that we can try now doesn't work for every dog. Some dogs, I will try to switch them over to free feeding or open feeding, because part of the concern is that, oh my God, this food's going to be gone and I'm not going to have any.
Okay.
It only works for certain dogs, and I usually prefer it to be in a single dog home, because then we have less worry about resource competition, trying to eat your food really fast so the other dog can't get to it.
Well, the other dog doesn't go anywhere near her bowl. She goes near the other dog's bowl.
Sure. And what we have to recognize is that she, for whatever reason, has concerns about that food not being there when she gets back, or that it's going to be taken away from her. So we need to do whatever we can to reassure her of that. So a lot of times I'll try to practice quiet behaviors before feeding, just to kind of help resume some control and to decrease the pet's anxiety. So something simple like saying, okay, the food's sitting in front of you. Let's practice a sit or a shake paw. And then you give a command to say, okay, it's all right to eat. That helps to kind of connect the dog to say, all right, everything's okay. The food's there. And it kind of diverts the mind. So that's one just training thing. But otherwise, other strategies, we can go to giving food in other ways so that she has to kind of work for it. There's a lot of different toys out there, the Kong toys, the Busy Buddy toys, where you can put the actual pet's food inside toy items, and it gives them something to do, gives them a little more time to ingest the food, and it kind of makes it a little bit more interactive and fun. So that's one way also to kind of make mealtime stretch out a little bit and to make it a little bit more fun. I've had some folks hiding food in the house. You just got to watch for that really determined dog, like probably my Labrador, that would probably eat through furniture or under carpet to get to the food. So but I think that, you know, that and just being patient giving her a little extra time, being watchful for your other dog, because even if the other dog isn't physically going into that bowl, sometimes that psychological just fear or stress that the other dog might. So you may consider feeding them separately just to kind of ease her mind.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maureen, for your call. All right. And we go to Angela. Excuse me. Hi, Angela. How are you?
Hey, fine. How are you?
Good. I understand you want to talk to Joey Villani.
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
Well, I've got a cat who just loves to be groomed to the point that when I'm not home, my mother's taking care of her. You know, the cat meets her at the door, runs up on to the kitchen counter and jumps up there. My mother gives her a can of food, and she may or may not eat the food before she runs through the pet door into the garage and jumps up on the grooming table to wait for my mother to brush her. And I'm explaining all this because, you know, this is not a cat that doesn't like to be groomed. The problem I'm having is, you know, the table is a plastic patio table and chair. I use like a rubber curry brush, like really for a horse. Got a couple of those because they really get the undercoat out really great. The hair flies. But the problem is the cat is getting little shocks that I don't know about from static electricity. And, you know, if I don't notice the tail twitch or the little kitty evil eye, she thinks I'm intentionally doing it, and she will actually, you know, if I don't catch her little signal, she'll bite me. Is there any way to cut down the static electricity while she's being brushed? Because she'll sit there and love you to brush her for 20 or 30 minutes.
Now, I got a question for you. It's a short-haired cat, obviously.
Yes, sir.
The table that you're using, you said, has a plastic top?
It's a plastic, solid plastic table on a concrete floor.
And I think that you actually
I do have, you know, other brushes, but the majority of the ones I use are rubber. They just get the hair out really good.
I think that you're getting the static off or the plastic off the table. But you know what? Instead of changing all that, I got a very, very simple solution. You know dryer sheets, bounce dryer sheets?
Uh-huh, yeah.
What you're gonna do is you're going to take one of them before you groom your pet, and you're going to rub the cat down with the dryer sheet. And what that's going to do, it's going to eliminate the static. So you're going to be able to brush and comb your cat with no problems. It's a trick that we actually use in dog shows. In certain times of the year, when it's a little drier out, you'll get more static. So what will happen is you'll get a lot more flyaway hair. And we do that as well. And absolutely, we'll take care of the static. Your cat won't be upset. You'll be happy. And it actually makes them smell good.
Okay, great. Downy, you say?
Well, like bounce.
Bounce, any type of dryer sheets that you get, the sheets that you throw in the dryer, just put that.
Okay,
just,
so any brand, just any dryer sheet. Should I rub the plastic table with it too, or just the cat?
I would just rub the cat. I mean, it couldn't hurt. I mean, I've never rubbed down the table before, so I honestly don't know. But I know if you do rub the cat with it, it will absolutely, positively eliminate the static.
Oh, thank you. You've made both me and my cat very happy.
Good.
Thank you. That's why I'm here, to make you guys happy.
Thanks for your call today. Let us know how that works.
Angela. You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Vinny Penn, your party animal, coming at you yet again. If you were paying attention to the last episode's party animal installment, you know we're getting a little art house here. Got a subtitle going. We're doing the Cruiser Chronicles. Cruiser is my mini schnauzer of my youth that I had. He ran the show. He ran the Penn household for over 10 years. I was telling a story in the last installment about Cruiser eating about 30 pounds worth of chocolate, probably, and surviving. And now I've got an even better Cruiser story for you all, although it does start on a somber note. I'll just let you know, recently my older sister called me. An old friend of my mother's had passed away, hadn't seen her in ages, and she said, you know, we should pay our respects, we should go to the wake, and we went to the wake, of course, to pay respects. Really, I hadn't seen her in ages, since the 90s. When we were leaving, my sister said, gee, when was the last time you saw her? I've been seeing her around lately. You probably haven't seen her in a million years. I said, Lori, I haven't. And I started thinking about the last time I saw her. It was actually, and we were in hysterics, which you never feel good about being in hysterics on the way home from a wake. I mean, there's at least a sliver of guilt. But nonetheless, I said, gee, I remember what it was. She had come to the house. She was visiting Mom. And while she was visiting Mom, Cruiser took a dump in her pocketbook. Not even kidding you. The sick part is she didn't even realize. We always said that Cruiser acted like his crap didn't stink. You know the old saying? Yeah, you act like your crap doesn't stink. Well, Cruiser's evidently did. He acted that way, and it was because it didn't, because she made it all the way out to her car, God rest her soul, without knowing there were two dog turds in her pocketbook. I don't know if Cruiser was sending a message, if there was something in the pocketbook that had made him feel as if this was the perfect spot. Maybe he just felt like she'd take it outside for him. Who knows? Only Cruiser knows. But inadvertently, this gives me an idea. The doggy poop pocketbook. Make a lot of money out of that. All I need is a distributor. Vinny Penn, Animal Radio.
Thousands of authors across the country have written books and published them with Page Publishing. If you've written a book, they can help you through the process, cut through the confusion of the publishing world to make it easy for you. If they decide to publish your book, your work ends, theirs begins. From copy editing and proofing to typesetting and book cover art. Plus, get your book printed, distributed, and sold on Amazon, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, and in bookstores across the country. They even help promote your book. Biography, self-help, mystery, novels, sci-fi, or even a children's book. No matter what genre, Page Publishing can bring your book to life. And don't forget to ask about audiobooks. We do all of this for you. Call today for your free writer's guide packed with tips, tricks, and templates to help you finish what you started.
800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. That's 800-215-6815.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
Let's hit the phones. We have Christy on the phones. Hey, Christy.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. Where are you?
I'm in Jacksonville, Florida.
Well, what can we do for you today?
Well, I have a 10-year-old tiny toy Pomeranian, and my husband grew up with dogs all of his life, but his family wouldn't let them get shots. So he doesn't feel like that my dog needs shots. So I've been fighting with him on this since we got her. So I would sneak and get her shots, but it's been about 5 years since I've been able to sneak and do it. So okay. I'm wondering if you could give me some tips to tell him and explain to him the reasons why the shots are so important. Or if they're not important, let me know that.
Okay. Well, you know what? I don't want to get into a marital disagreement here, but this is going to be kind of like a little counseling session, though. I've learned in veterinary practice for 16 years that sometimes I can help educate and inform, but I don't do a good job of convincing, because that really, a lot of people sometimes have preconceived notions, what they grow up with is what they know, and that can be hard to overcome, even in the face of good, sound medical guidance. So, I can try to arm you with some of that. And, you know, I guess the first thing I'd say is that vaccines are important to some degree. Infectious disease does not go away. So we know that even though people vaccinate, we still have parvo, we still have distemper. And those are diseases I can actually see even in adult dogs. So, in fact, just the other week, we had a 1.5-year-old dog develop parvo, never left his backyard. So it can happen. But I'd say if we want to arm ourselves with some information, you could tell him one other thing we can do short of vaccinating is to do titers. And that's kind of a wave that some veterinarians are going to, where we basically draw a blood sample. We send it in for a test, and it tests an in vitro possible protection for that condition, such as parvovirus or distemper virus. It's a very, it's more costly when you compare it to the cost of the shots, but if we're opposed to vaccinating, or maybe medically we're trying to avoid unnecessary vaccines, that might be one way you could go and say, hey, this is an option. But I'd have to say that infectious disease happens. And most people, you know, if you don't know, rabies vaccine is required by law for dogs and cats. So it makes things very complicated should a human be scratched or bitten in the company of your dog or by your dog. I've had dogs here quarantined for extended periods of time because they didn't have a current rabies vaccine. So, that's for me, that's saving your pet and yourself that heartache of that kind of thing. And everyone will say, oh, my dog doesn't go around other people. He doesn't bite anybody. You know what? You never know. You could have a child over, get scraped around the eye, and you just, can't make those presumptions.
I'll pass this story on here that Judy got bit from the studio cat, which she knows very well. And because she got bit, the city had to come out and quarantine the place. And because he had his vaccinations, he didn't have to go off with them. So it's she knows Boog, the studio cat, very well. And it was the last thing you expected to get bit by him. What were you doing?
No, I was actually drawing blood.
Oh, were you?
I have to draw his blood every month.
So you two get along pretty good is the point that I'm saying.
Yeah,
it may be in a situation where you need
years.
To have that. But you know what? I'm thinking, I'm listening back to this whole conversation here, and I'm thinking that maybe you should just sneak the pet to the vet one more time.
And Christy, I have to say that, you know, going to the vet is probably the most important thing. And, you know, nowadays we don't just give random shots to dogs when they walk in the door. We really individualize that. So for me, the number one thing would be get that regular exam for your pet and then talk about those vaccines, what's necessary, because there's a lot more to preventative care than just those vaccinations.
Well, I appreciate those doors. It, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Let's take a call for Dr. Debbie. We have Lisa on the phone. Hey, Lisa. Hola.
Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you doing, Lisa? What's going on?
Well, a couple of things. One, just want to say thank you because about 6 months ago I called in and I was concerned because my kitty and my hubby weren't getting along very well. And the doctor had suggested that he takes over the food and the treats and things like that. Mm-hmm. And they're good buddies now. So
they're good buddies now.
Yay!
Good job, Doc.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And it just goes to prove that, you know, cats, you know, there's a way to their heart and it's their stomach.
Oh, yes.
Not just cats, humans too. I know that's the way to my heart.
Oh, yeah, that's humans too. I agree.
So what's going on now, though?
Well, my question is, I was wondering what would be the best kitty food to feed them. We actually have two cats. They're both males. They're about a year old now. We've been feeding them Purina One as well as alternating with Iams.
It's a tough question because there really is no easy answer. There's no perfect food for any one given pet. Now, there's different thoughts when it comes to nutrition in cats. And some of the new research as they look at nutrition in kitties is that, you know, they're carnivores. And we need to keep that in mind with their diets. And that sometimes maybe feeding these kibble diets that are high carbohydrate just may not always be the best thing for them. So higher protein foods or even canned foods, exclusively canned foods, have actually been shown to keep our kitties healthier weight. So that might be one thing. But now, as far as brands, like I said, I don't have anything major against any of those brands. I think those are high quality foods. It depends on what also works for your kitties. So not only how great someone tells you it is, but how good it is and consistent for their bowels, for them using the litter box and for their overall thriving. For me, you know, I like to find a major company that has a nice reputable name, that has a veterinary person I can call on a 1-800 number, because that's very important for me that there's nutritional background with a diet. And both of those that you've mentioned have that.
Is it okay to be switching between foods back and forth?
Good question. And the general answer is that most pets, dogs and cats alike, thrive when they're on a consistent diet. So we feel like we need to switch it up sometimes to make it more interesting, but actually their digestive tract does better if we keep that on a consistent brand and even a consistent flavor. And then just not get too worried about the idea that, oh, today they need turkey dinner and yesterday it was chicken dinner and tomorrow it's going to be giblets. And I would just say pick one, stick with it, and if they're happy with it, then I'm happy with it.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. That's 800-475-3351.
Hi, this is Paul Reiser, and you're listening to Animal Radio. And every minute you're here, you're not harming someone else. I don't know what that means.
This is an Animal Radio news update.
I'm Tammy Trujillo. Amtrak is one step closer to becoming pet-friendly. The House of Representatives has approved $8 billion in funding for a pilot program for people traveling with pets. Now, at least one car per train would allow pets in kennels as long as those kennels met the size requirements. Larger animals would travel as cargo, but the baggage area would have to be temperature controlled to make sure it was safe for the animals. Passengers with pets would pay a pet fee. The bill now goes to the Senate and then on to the White House, where it reportedly is being supported. Amtrak already has a similar pilot program of its own going with a pet fare of $25 and up to 4 animal passengers per train. This is going on in Illinois. The Sea Lion and Otter Show at SeaWorld San Diego is on hold while something much more important is going on. Trainers for the show are spending their time instead working with the park's animal rescue team. They are dealing with a huge number of stranded California sea lion pups along the coast. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has no idea why these pups are stranding themselves in record numbers. SeaWorld's taken in over 900 since the start of the year, and that's compared to a usual average of only 225 from January all the way through the end of April. The park's in the process of building 2 temporary pools just for the rescued sea lions. Have you ever wanted to live somewhere where animals outnumbered people? I can't tell you how many times I have. Well, I actually have found the place. It's a remote island in southern Japan called Aoshima. There are 6 times as many cats there as people. The cats were originally brought to this 1-mile-long island to deal with the mice that plagued the fishing boats. And they did that and more. The island's now known as Cat Island, and it's become somewhat of a tourist attraction. The cats are really not picky animals there. They survive on rice balls, energy bars, or potatoes that they beg off the tourists. And here's the thing, they have no natural predators on the island, so they live and prosper. As delighted as tourists find the cats, the people who live on the island sees this really as a problem because these cats are creating more cats. There are approximately 120 cats on the island and more on the way. The people on Cat Island are working to catch and neuter the cats and then return them to their life of leisure on that island. I'm Tammy Trujillo. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Hey, this is Brian DiTillo. I play Lucas Roberts on Days of Our Lives, and you're listening to Animal Radio. And please don't forget to have your pet spayed or neutered. That's my favorite saying from Bob Barker, by the way.
Let's take another one for Dr. Debbie. We have Trey on the phone. Hey, Trey.
Hi.
I take it you were the third in the family, huh?
What's that?
Your name?
Yes, Trey.
He's making fun of you. That's not nice now.
I'm making fun of it. What's going on in your world?
Oh, I have a cat. She's about 2.5 years old, and she's been spayed, and I've caught her spraying inside of my house several times already, and I've talked to my vet about it, and he says, first he told me that once they're spayed that they won't do that, but I told him I've seen her do it. So he told me it's because that there might be strays around, stray cats.
Uh-huh.
And
I
know there's stray cats around because across the street from my house there's an abandoned building and there's a bunch of stray cats in there. Uh-huh. But I was wondering if there's something I could do or something I could buy to spray around that she won't want to spray inside the house anymore.
Okay. Now, my question is, does she go outside or is she an inside kitty?
No, she's indoor-outdoor.
She does go outside. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that opens up the whole opportunity of a world outside your doors. And if she does encounter, see, smell, or even smell the evidence of those other cats in her immediate environment, you know, that's a lot to overcome. So she's basically saying, hey, this is my house. This is my domain. And if those other kitties are anywhere in that vicinity, this is a reasonable thing for a cat to do. It's not reasonable for us, but it's reasonable in an explanation scenario. So the big thing is, you know, keeping the kitties away or keeping your cat indoor. I think that's probably one of the first things we talk about. And if keeping her indoor is a reasonable lifestyle adjustment and you and she can take to it, that might help considerably. Although we still have kitties that are inside that look out curtains, that look out doors and see kitties on their front porch, and they can really still have those same social stresses. So you have to do other things as well to ensure that she's not catching wind or sight of them from outside.
Okay. She loves being outside. I really feel bad locking her inside.
If you're opposed to, you know, making her an inside kitty, you have to realize that you can't control that outside world. You can try. And now, do the kitties actually, do you ever see them come up to your house or?
Yes, I've actually, because we have a little door, a little kitty door in the back that my cat can come in and out. And I've actually caught them inside of my house before. If we're not home.
Well, I wonder why she's pissed off, man. I don't blame her. Someone comes to my house and messes with my stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, here's the challenge you have, is that if these kitties have come over, and not only have they come in your house, but say, you know, they found resources, they found what they like in your house, and they want to explore it, as long as they have that opportunity, you're going to have a really big, overwhelming problem on your hands. What we need to do is shut off the access of those cats to your home, and that might mean keeping your kitty indoors for a spell. Relocating the cat door entry might mean trying some of those really cool products, the cat doors that are activated, say, with the magnetic cat collar, so that the cat door only opens when your kitty approaches it, not when just cat A, B, C, or D down the road comes up to the cat.
Yeah, I've never even heard about those kind of doors. Activated by a collar?
Yes. Yeah, so your cat has to be one that you can keep a collar on, but they basically have, usually it's a magnet. I've seen some where they have like a microchip that kind of activates it. So basically, and this works for dogs as well. So they approach the door and it opens when they're in a certain proximity to the door. But when an offending animal, and even say like a wildlife, comes around, it won't open. So that's a great strategy that you can try to kind of keep the both the best worlds for your kitty. The other thing is, if we do have to kind of shut the house down to cat access for a period of time, and if you can tough it out with your kitty, then there are some other deterrents you can try. And there's motion-activated sprinkler systems. I believe one is called the Scarecrow. So basically, any animal walks by this little motion-activated unit, which is attached to your sprinkler, and it goes off when that motion is detected. Frightens that little critter, whatever it might be, in a kind of soft and kind way. And there's also that same kind of product that can be activated with puffs of air, with high compressed air. So you might want to do a little bit of internet searching for either the Scarecrow or the Garden Ghost, which are those respective products. There's oodles out there, though. So lots of those that can be of good value to keep those unwanted critters away and to allow your kitty to still enjoy that lifestyle that she enjoys. And I would also if your vet hasn't checked a urine sample on her, make sure we do check that, just to make sure she's not dealing with a double problem of any kind of hiding infection there, crystal problem, because we wouldn't want to miss that and blame her for being a naughty girl for other reasons.
Okay. So besides that, you said the scarecrow and the guardian ghost is what it's called?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that motion activated collar, and I don't have any particular brands. Like I said, there's tons out there, but it might mean tearing out that existing cat door and retrofitting it with one of these other products. But you know, I think you got a lot of good options there and things you can try. And you know, if you have to shut down the feeding center and keep those other cats away for a while, you know, then you know, do your best and
keep her inside and just let her out, because my cat door is like in my laundry room, which is detached from the house. There's another door that I could close there. And I could just keep them inside and just open the door and let them out whenever. Because I think maybe she's just praying inside because she smells the other cats in there, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If I could just keep them out, maybe that'll work.
That would be the biggest first step, yes. But there are cats that just kind of approach the front door where Kitty will be sitting on the comforts of their couch inside their house. They look out the window and they see a cat spraying on, say, the front porch or a wall near their house. That's enough social stress to freak your kitty out and say, I got to do the same. I got to mark my territory. So it doesn't always have to be an indoor scenario for that stress.
Even if they just see them from inside, okay.
Oh, yeah.
You got it. So, yeah.
Boy.
Kitties and territory. Man, you know, they're like those little samurais, you know, they'll duel it out.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck with you, Trey. You got a couple ideas. I hope some of those work for you. Let us know. I'd love to know if we're able to make some headway and help you out in this department. So
I will. Thank you guys for your time.
Take care.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Dogs or cats? Horse or emu, animals are people too.
A stolen cockatoo's big mouth helped reunite him with his rightful owner. 2 years ago, Diane Bagley let her 4 dogs out in her backyard. She also set Corey the cockatoo in his cage on the back porch. Someone then stole Corey the cockatoo and Bagley's 4 dogs from her Shreveport, Louisiana home. 2 years later, Bagley was talking about Corey to a visitor who recalled hearing a cockatoo saying his signature catchphrase, which was, "I love you, Corey." Bagley then called the police and told Detective Kay Ward what she had learned. A sheriff's spokesperson said Ward wasn't sure she had the correct address until she approached a home in the mobile home park and heard a bird inside squawking, "I love you, Corey." Bagley and her bird had a tearful reunion. The woman who had Corey said she was given the bird a year ago. The investigation continues to try to find Bagley's missing dogs. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. That's 800-689-0143.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
The good weather is on the way. That's the good news. The bad news for much of the country, of course, we have fleas and ticks all year round, but some of the country, you know, during the winter, that goes down. And, well, spring and summer is here, and that means the fleas and ticks are back. And for that, we have Dr. Marty Becker joining us. He's our veterinary correspondent, to dispel whatever myths or fallacies we've heard about flea prevention and tick talk.
I love just saying that.
TikTok.
I love saying it. You know what? I love saying it, but it's funny about veterinarians. I was at a recent large veterinary conference, and there was two technicians there, and one of them can't stand maggots, and the other is scared to death of aggressive cats that are really frightened. So they're actually, you know, they're fighting for their life. So they trade. I'll give you two maggot dogs for two crazy cats, you know. But, you know, veterinarians can handle. We can clean out a parvo blowout and eat dinner. We can pull hairs out of our food and eat it. I mean, there's nothing that bothers us. But you get down to ticks. Oh, I hate those things, and everybody hates them. You know, even just seeing them, let alone when they're really, really engorged and all blown up. And then let me kind of lay this out here. I'm a veterinarian, 35 years, and I remember when we first used to treat fleas and ticks, it was like chemical warfare. And you guys remember this too. There were dips. Yep. There were powders. There were sprays, there was collars, there was baths, and now in a way it's easier, in a way it's harder. And the way it's harder is just fleas have really proliferated. We don't know when they're going to spring up. There's so many different weather changes now that you never know when something's going to burst up and infest your pets and then come into your house. But anyway, what we want to do is take the latest technologies in flea control to keep these pets and their environments relatively, you hear me say relatively, flea free. Uh-huh. Because it's not easy if you live in a place like where you live or on the Gulf Coast or, you know, in the South and places. So what I tell people to do, you go into a pet store, you go into Walgreens or you go on to Amazon, and there's all these tantalizing ads and completing claims. This one works better. This one was formerly available to your veterinarian. This one's an oral. This one's a topical. This one's a collar. And it's hard enough for veterinarians to keep it straight about which one works best. So here's what I would recommend you do. Go to your veterinarian or call your veterinarian, and you can say this. Listen, I'm going to buy my flea stuff with you. So you bring your pet in there. What do you recommend that you have? What do you use on your own pets? Or don't be afraid to tell your veterinarian when you go in there, you know what, I'm buying my flea control now when I buy my groceries, or I'm buying it online, or I'm buying it at the local drugstore. What is sold there that's going to work the best for my pets? So let's say, for example, a dog's a heavy swimmer. You probably wouldn't want to use a topical product. You'd use an oral product.
Oh, yeah.
And if you have a lot of young kids around, you might want to use an oral product rather than the topical product that could actually, you know, get on children and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have fleas and ticks, then you want a product that takes care of both, or you want to get a product that'll take care of the fleas and then maybe add something like a tick collar. But, you know, one flea can cause flea allergy dermatitis. When you see one flea, this is the other thing, you know, that itsy flea on your pet, and people think, he doesn't have much. It just got a few fleas. Well, within the next month, that flea, with a little help from her girlfriends, could fill your house with thousands of descendants. And here's what's more. For every flea you see on your pet, there are hundreds of eggs, larvae, pupa, and emerging fleas that are not on your pet. They're in your yard. They're in your carpet. They're in your linen.
Ooh.
You want to make sure that you use a medication year-round, not time it. Via, you know, we'll start in the spring, like now it's getting warm, and we'll stop after the second killing frost. The Animal Parasite Control Council recommends lifetime parasite control for all pets.
Mm. What about fleas becoming resistant to certain, like, spot-ons?
It's more of an internet rumor than it is reality.
Really?
I've talked to Dr. Dryden about it, and there are some areas where there are resistant pockets, but it's not a major concern yet.
A couple of weeks back, we had on our Wacky Wednesday as the prize a tick remover, kind of something brand new that I'd never heard of before. A liquid that you pour on the tick. Is that correct, Judy? As I remember, and then
I'd have
it
to
would
go back. I don't recall.
It would leave. It would take off. It would submit.
Well, ticks. Oh my gosh! Ick a tick. That's what I just can't stand the thought of these. Creeped out face on seeing one of those alone, let alone touching that grossly engorged tick or finding one on you or your pet. Oh. But, you know, ticks are from the arachnid family, so they're part of the spider family. They're eight-legged. They feed on blood, and, you know, bright red blood goes in the front end and dark digested blood goes out the back end, if you know what I mean. But what they're doing the whole time, whether it's Lyme disease, they almost always have more than one bacteria or protozoa inside of them. And co-infections are almost the norm now. So, you know, when your tick is feeding, these you know, babesia, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, anaplasmosis, Lyme disease, just get pumped into your pet's bloodstream. And we were talking about folklore, about the best way to remove ticks, you know, a hot match, a cigarette, Vaseline, mineral oil, something that'll cause them to repel. But the reason you don't want to do that is it often causes the tick to regurgitate into the bite wound. So think of that little mouthpiece releasing all the nasty bacteria, other disease-causing agents right into the wound. So instead, they want you to use forceps, tweezers, or you've probably seen at Global Pet Expo some of those neat little tick removal tools that you see.
Yeah, so little plastic pinchers.
Yeah, they're like fiber, or I've seen some that are lightweight aluminum too. But
yeah.
if you don't have anything like that, you know, you can use needle nose pliers or a pair of tweezers, but you want to grab the tick really close to the skin next to the mouth part, and then just use real steady rearward traction to pull them out. And make sure you wear gloves so if it goes bust, your skin is protected from the gut contents, and then flush them down the toilet. If your dog is just covered in ticks, I think you should probably take it to the vet and let them have safe removal.
Dr. Marty Becker, as usual, we run out of time. I always enjoy visiting with you.
Thank you, dear friends.
We'll catch you next week for more Animal Radio right here on this fine station. Have a great one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Animal Radio
Network.